Every year, when I ask God for a word, He gives me one word. He gave me more than that this year. Like He gave me a great big prophetic word, but I'll make it available to you later. But this year's word was authority. Previous year's words have been grace. Was last year, and we had peace. And they're words that we get to unpack. But you know what? We've found that as we were beginning to understand what those things were about, that word was beginning to test us. Yeah. Not only are we understanding more of the word, not only are we unpacking the word, not only are we trying to understand the significance of it and the breadth and the depth and the height of this thing, but it begins to test us, showing us why we need grace from last year. Asking us to extend grace to others. What? Be graceful to that person? They hurt me. Why would I do that? Because you're being tested in it this year. So this year we get to look at authority, and you'll be tested in it. If you're ready. I hope that I'm not the reason for your testing. And the mighty rod of God that comes down upon thee. I don't like doing that. But we get tested in all of this stuff. And it's just delightful. In creation, God had this plan. And in creation, I'm not going to... Our time is kind of... set out for us. So in creation, all three of the persons of the Godhead, and I'm not going to go into the Trinity and the reasons for it this morning. It's just go with me on it, okay? So there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The three of them are co-equal and all God. But yet, there's a hierarchy in it that they honor. Right? God the Father sent Jesus. God the Father sent the Holy Spirit. They submit to one another. Oh, there's a word. Because for all authority, the corollary or the obvious outworking of that is there must be a submission. Well, we all want authority. Of some way or in some way or another. We all want to move in authority and have that, but very seldom do we want to submit to anybody. But it goes with the territory.
Amen. Good preaching.
And there, you can't have one without the other. With authority goes responsibility, with authority goes bigger target on your back. The things that God had set in place, we see working out in the natural. No matter where you go, it's the same. It's because it's God's laws, God's purposes in effect. Wherever there is authority, anywhere, people who desire that authority try to kill the authority. Why? Because it just goes with the territory. God has set up authority, and in us, we have this nature that from Adam and Eve and their fall, we'll go over that in just a sec, that makes us want to make those rules. I could be a better leader than that. I'm way better than that person. Why can't I be up there? Well, it's not as easy as it looks. Because with the authority, you have to have the responsibility that goes with it. And you have to be willing to take the shots that come with it. Believe it or not, we are in a war. You can't see it, so you don't believe it in your day-to-day lifestyle. You don't act like you believe it. You act like this earth suit is the end of it all. And yes, yes, I understand I'm going to heaven when it's all over. And that's the way we live. But there is a day-to-day warfare out there. And the enemy wants to take out anyone with authority. Smite the shepherd, the sheep will scatter. There's a principle there. Take out the boss, and you'll cause division, dissension, desertion. It'll all be done. And so, sometimes people want to be on a worship team. And we'll say, why don't you just sit for a bit? Why don't you just get to know what's happening around here, get used to the warfare we're in before you invite that stuff coming upon you and your household? Right? We learned along the way, you put them up there too fast, and the baggage that they've got will make them easy targets for the enemy. And usually it's not the person that wanted to lead. It's usually someone in their family that gets taken out in sickness or in financial issues or in relationship issues. And it's always the same. We'll talk about all of that. You'll get to be real familiar with it as we go through. Really familiar with that. Talk about it properly. So I want to look at a couple of different things. God made the rules, right? The principle here is that, like, if I make a little model ship, right? I fashion this little ship, and I work on it all the time, and if I fashion this ship, whose ship is it? It's mine. Until I give it to somebody, right? Or someone steals it. If I made a little ship, somebody would want to steal it. So it's mine. God made all of it. The earth, the universe, you, all the little microbes, he made it all. So who does it belong to? I know this is pretty elementary, right? Just say Jesus, that'll be the right answer. So he made it. He can make the rules. And he is so big and so awesome that any old time that he wanted to, he could say, it's my ball, I'm going home. You guys are gone. He did it once. The flood. Let's fix this. But he promised he wouldn't do that again. So he's going to play by the rules that he set in place. And authority is a big part of that. And authority is all about bringing glory to him in whatever it is that we're using our authority for. My dear friend Brendan always says, before he goes to a meeting, he always says, God, make me look good. Now, he and God have this relationship. God understands that what he's saying is, I want to make you look good, Father. Right? And when you know Brendan, you know that that's what he's really saying. But it sounds like, what kind of a guy is this? I'm going to minister with you, and you want God to make you look good? What about me? It's so cool. Because it's all about God. It's his rules. And you know, everybody on the face of the earth has to run by these authority rules. Everybody. Doesn't matter whether they've been saved, healed, and sanctified. They've got to run by the authority rules. They try to do communism and everybody shares, but it ends up being authority figures and all that stuff anyway. Look at the history of mankind. It's amazing. God put it in place. And everybody must run by his rules. Like gravity. We try really hard to defy it. I'd jump right now, but it looks silly. You go up, you won't come down. There's nothing you can do about it. You can try and break it all you want, but it's a law that God himself put in place. Right? And there's lots of them. And authority is one of them. And when you get to see that, it changes everything for you. Oh, these are your rules. You know, the NFL, Seahawks are playing today. Those of you that know who they are, God bless you. Pray for them. They have a team that's based in Seattle. This team that's based in Seattle, they want to run the things the way they want to run it. They're really cool, and they have a swagger, and they do their things their way. And this is a Seattle thing, right? But every single thing that they do must comply with the authority of the NFL, the National Football League. Because it's their football, it's their game, and it's their rules, and the NFL will be glorified by what you do, or you will not play. It's that simple. Soon as you break the rules, bye, you're gone. Now you can have a little infraction in the game, that's okay. But if you were to make the NFL look bad, you're toast. You're gone. You popped right out of this game, and you can look for a job digging ditches somewhere. It doesn't work because authority, like the NFL doesn't have anything to do with God as far as they're concerned. But everyone must comply with the rules in order to play the game. God made the rules for the game of life. And it's not a game. It's a terrible thing to go through, but it's a joyful thing to go through. But we must comply by his rules. And it's an amazing thing when you get it. And the kingdom is expanded when we follow his rules.
Amen. Yes.
Right? So let me quickly, I always get myself into these things. Let's quickly look at some of this stuff. The Father is God, right? He occupies the position and authority supreme among the persons of the Godhead, for he appointed Jesus as king. Psalm 2, verse 5 to 9, if you want to look it up. And he sends the Son and the Holy Spirit. God the Father is also described as our provider, our protector, our savior, our helper, and our guide. Each of these attributes outlines a position of power, the ultimate authority. God the Father is it. And yet he's part of a team. Defining the Trinity as a team is so inadequate. But it'll work today. I've got the mic. The Son is God. So the Father is God. The Son is God. How does that work? I don't know. They made the rules. Jesus reigns at the right hand of the Father. You get that? Do you catch the authority there? Like, he's not on his lap. He's at the right hand of the Father, right? He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. His placement at the right hand of God is significant because it implies that Jesus is both in and under authority. He is under the Father's authority, but over creation. The Bible also describes God as the Son, as God the Son as high priest, chief shepherd, and head of the church, and the Lamb of God. And all of these imply authority, except for the last, which refers to the submissive role of Jesus. the servant role, which Pastor Sam outlined for us last week. The Spirit is also God. J.I. Packer summarized it this way: the distinctive, constant, basic ministry of the Holy Spirit is to mediate Christ's presence to the believers. Yeah. Right? To mediate Christ's presence to the believers. That's a submissive role ascribed to by the all-powerful God. It's amazing. God the Holy Spirit enables regeneration of our hard hearts and continually sanctifies us and empowers us to become more like Jesus. He also inspired the writings of the Scriptures. And in these ways, the Spirit is under Christ's and therefore the Father's authority, but over us. And yet in this Trinity, this three-way thing, they're always lifting the other up. There has never been a, well, how does he get away with ordering us around like that? I don't want to do that. That's below me, beneath me. I am seated in heavenly places. There's none of that. Because they understand that it's all for the glory of who they are. And you are part of that. If you can understand that you're part of the body of Christ, like literally, is the palm of your hand good for you? Right? Is it a part of your body or is it against you? It's for you. Right? Anytime it hurts, you hurt. Or it hurts you. Oh. They work with each other and lift each other up. They are always submitting to one another. And that is our picture of what authority looks like. Because, remember, who owns the whole thing? It's Him. So any authority, any, I mean any, and you got to catch this, because you may say bad words against your political leaders, and what you're doing is saying, God, you gave authority to the wrong guy. And He knows who He gave it to before you decided it was the wrong guy. And so you're saying, God, I know better than you. And you better stop what you're doing. Because I want my guy in. Forget it. They're His rules. He places who He will. He gives authority wherever He will give authority. And our job is to honor that. You don't have to like it, but you honor it no matter what. Because in doing so, you bypass them and go to God Himself. Because you're glorifying Him. It's not like you're glorifying. There is no authority on this earth that wasn't God given. Now, is that too big a statement? Think about it for a minute. There is no authority on the earth that is not God-given. Is God big enough to care for even the littlest authority? The meter person that gives you the parking tickets. Right? I've heard people say that they're the lowest form of life on earth. Or maybe it's the Sedines when they celebrate a goal. There is no authority except God-given authority. So grab your socks and pull them up Because you've been complaining about God-given authority, and it's just because everybody else does it, so I'm going to do it. Grow up. Grow up. This year of authority, you are going to be accountable for this thing. And when you say Trudeau sucks, you're saying God's choice is bad. Well, you can deal with that. I don't want to be around you. It's so much bigger, and it's so much more wonderful. And this is so limited, our view of what's going on right now. Like, the world begins and ends with who's our prime minister. Get past that. It's God. It's God. It's God himself that's doing all of this stuff. It's amazing what he's doing. And he's in charge. So, let's get on with it. All right. So you get the picture, right?
Yeah.
Rant away. So, God gave authority to Adam. He gave him dominion. Gave him the right to name the animals, right? And that's authority, right? I named my son. There was a day when I had authority over him. Authority was given to Adam in the garden. Adam and Eve shared it co-equally. It's a beautiful thing. But something happened. And do you know how they gave up their authority? Do you know how they gave up their authority? By agreeing with what the devil said. Now catch the principle here. Because they gave their authority to the devil by believing him and allowing him to have rights in their lives. Right? How does he work today? Same way. So, Adam and Eve have authority. God says, don't do something. Devil says, did he really say that? They messed up. They lost their authority. They lose their house, the place they're living in, their livelihood. And they got to eke out a living from the dirt. But the authority was given to the devil. Now, how did that happen? It's a terrible thing. They just agreed with his ideas. Just one idea, and look what they lost. Okay, so all through the Old Testament, the authority over the earth is the devil's. Now God, because he's the head boss, he's the NFL, he still has a say in, well, you know, I'm going to give authority to this guy, and it supersedes whatever the devil's in charge of, because God's the boss. But that's the way you have to read the Old Testament, is that there is this understanding of authority is the devil's. And you know that when you look at the word authority, it only refers to authority of a king, which is limited authority, right? It's a little territory. Authority, malek and melek are the two Hebrew words that are primarily authority, but it's not the kind of authority that we understand that God gave Adam and Eve. And so you look through the Old Testament, and the authority is a different kind of authority than after Jesus comes on the scene. Right? Because Jesus takes it back. He beats the devil at his game. Just quickly, I got to look at a scripture. So, Ephesians. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to look at lots of scriptures through the year, but I wanted to give you a kind of an overview, a view from the rafters, sort of. So Ephesians 1, verse 19. And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe? According to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ. So who's this talking about? The Father, right? When he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power. He's above all of the authority and power that he put in place. When you're above, it's not like you're just removed from it. You're in charge of it. Right? Because remember, we're talking hierarchical here. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they all answer to the Father, you know. And so he's above all authority, rule, power, and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things. And the all things actually means all things. Pretty simple stuff. So Jesus has all the authority back. He lived as man. Now, we've been through this, so if I'm going too fast for you, there's lots of story in the middle here. But the idea is, devil took it legally. He legally stole authority from mankind. It was allowed. He was playing by the rules. Everybody was sad when he did that, but he did it legally. Jesus legally took back what was stolen by the devil, and he now is in control of all authority in heaven and on earth. And he put it all under his feet. Now, where are his feet? Where are his feet? They're the extremity of the body. Who is the body? We are. So you catch the big picture here, right? We have authority. All things under the feet. Then why on earth do we have all these problems? That's because we still live with the laws that God put in place. Okay? So you have authority. Okay, but you have some baggage. And that baggage opens you up to lies. By baggage, I mean wounds and hurts from your childhood or whatever. Your daddy was too mean to you or whatever. Don't get any ideas, Sam. I don't want to have to hear about you getting a sozo about me. Forgot where I am. But baggage is stuff that happened to you along the way that opens you up to the lies of the enemy. Because he's still operating by the rules. Right? He's a legalist. And he makes sure that God runs by the rules. Right? And so baggage opens you up to stuff. I heard that Air Canada is going to start charging us for emotional baggage now. And what happens there is exactly the same thing that happened in the garden. The devil tells you a lie, you believe it, You give him a place of authority in your life, and he starts to operate within your life as if he runs it. And so, there is no shame in that. You heard Pastor Sam this morning saying, God doesn't want you to walk in the shame. We all are in that place where we have let the enemy in, and he's taken some territory inside of us. And he has a right to be there and a right to operate there and a right to continue to feed us lies that keep us from operating in the full authority and power that God wanted us to operate in. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. My time is up. just give me a couple more minutes. Jesus, when he was dealing with the disciples, and he's showing them stuff, and he's showing them authority, and then this centurion asks him to do something. A centurion is a commander in the Roman army. He understands hierarchy completely. He understands the authority that he has, and he understands that he is under authority. Because if he doesn't, he wouldn't have gotten to where he is. So he says, you don't have to go to my house to heal my kid or my servant. You don't have to go to my house. Just say the word and it'll be done. Because I am a man under authority. Right. Understand? He doesn't say, I'm a man in authority, because that's what he's asking Jesus to do. Right. He's saying, I'm a man under authority. I understand authority.
Wow. Right on.
And so you can say it and it's done. Now, he caught a principle of the kingdom right there. And Jesus said, whoa, whoa, I haven't seen such faith in all of Israel. Like that, Jesus didn't have exclamation marks behind many of his statements. This was a big deal because he understood authority. And you're going to be able to say this kind of stuff at the end of this year. Because you will understand authority. The centurion got it. Now, so those are the broad strokes, right? The word that we looked at here for authority in the New Testament is exousia. Everybody's probably heard that word, right? It's authority with power. We'll define it better later. But understand that it's a word that has power to it. Because when authority is spoken, it carries weight with it. There's another word that people use in the New Testament, and it is dunamis, which is just straight old power. Now, you want to understand the difference between dunamis and exousia. If an RCMP officer... Everybody understand who that is?
No.
Come into line now, James. An RCMP officer notices a guy doing something wrong on King George Boulevard. And so on go the lights, on go the siren. Starts chasing this guy down King George Boulevard. They go through the roundabouts and onto the 99, and they're at the border. Coming up to the border, the RCMP officer has a gun. He has power. But he also, in Canada, has authority to stop, question, and arrest this guy. This guy breezes right through the border. As soon as the RCMP officer hits the border, his authority is gone. He no longer has the right to stop, question, or arrest. If he does, he must come under the authority of the United States, and he may well end up in jail. Because they take those things seriously. They know authority. So he still has power. He can shoot the guy dead. But he no longer has authority because he's outside of his jurisdiction. The place where he is backed and where he is under authority. Right? So he is in authority, but and none of that has changed. He's still in authority in his place. That hasn't gone away. But he's lost his authority in his situation and his circumstance because he's come out from under the cover of his authority. He's no longer under authority, and therefore his authority is null and void. Does that make any sense to you? Because the simple truth of the natural principle there that the whole world operates under is a kingdom truth that we're going to start to get as we move along. Now, why isn't it working when, if we have all authority, and Jesus tells us to go lay hands on the sick, heal the sick, raise the dead, do this stuff, and you're trying, right? You pray for people. Is it working? No, but you have authority. Why isn't it working? Well, there's lots of reasons, I think, as we've checked out the the Spirit, but primarily it's because you haven't taken the territory within you, the kingdom within you. That's the place you have to have it first, and then it just overflows into the external realms. Now God, because he's in authority, overrides that sometimes, and so, you know, a brand new convert will have authority to heal, you know, 20,000 people. How does that work? I've been around here for 40 years. He still gets to make the rules. But he has rules in place. When they began to take the territory in the promised land, they're all sitting on the far side of the Jordan. All the men have been circumcised, so they got time to talk. What else are you going to do? So they start talking to each other, and they say, well, you know, my place is going to have a great big field, and if you want to use that field, you're welcome to use the back part of it for whatever you want to use it for, you know, because it's just going to be so big. None of them said any of that because they had no clue what it was like, and they had no authority. God said it's theirs. The territory was theirs before they stepped onto it. But they hadn't yet walked in authority in the land. They hadn't yet taken the territory. Once they'd taken the territory and it's theirs to give. But even that had some rules. But but it's theirs to give. You can't give what you don't have. Right? Well, he gave me authority. Yes, he did. Now, how have you walked in that? How have you taken the territory? Are you still walking with so much baggage that there is no territory in there other than the devil's stuff? Right? Like, this is just simple stuff, but it's the broad brush of where we're going. And you too can walk in authority that will blow your mind. But it's about taking the territory inside and glorifying God in all that you do. Then authority is in its rightful place. It's not about, oh God, make me look good. Right. We want it to be. Right. But it's about him. Let me make you look good. Right. Then I'm under authority and I have authority. Very good. And everything is different. Very good. Hallelujah. Worship team, can I invite you up here and we'll... Let's worship him because he put all these rules in place. I mean, you worship at an NFL game loudly. You see a touchdown from your team. Let's worship him as he deserves to be worshiped. There was a word this morning, Raina had it, about, you know, he's cheering us on to worship him more. Now that sounds so egotistical, right? But it's not. He knows the way things work. He wants us to come under the authority of the worship. And through that, he can release wonderful things. And so if I'm standing just past the finish line and I'm telling Sam, run faster, run faster, run faster. It's not about me. I'm telling him to do the right thing because you're going to be rewarded. And when God says, worship me, it's for us. It's for us. It's amazing.